With news you can depend on, I'm Greg Bishop, News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. In the news, the power's back on for some 6,000 City Water, Light, and Power customers after high winds from a storm knocked the power out to a good chunk of the city center. Crews worked throughout the night to restore service, but many people spent up to 4 hours in the dark after the outages. More storms are in the forecast for today. Details ahead. It's now up to Governor Bruce Rauner if parents and guardians will be able to administer cannabis-infused products to their children at their school. House Bill 4870 would give schools discretion whether to allow cannabis-infused products for children with qualifying conditions under the state's medical cannabis pilot program. The bill was sent to the governor Friday. Before voting no last month, State Senator Chuck Weaver said he supports getting CBD oil to students who need it. That's the substance derived from the cannabis stalk that has virtually none of the THC compound that gets you high.
I just wish we had a cleaner bill that was somehow making sure we're not now allowing THC in a school environment when we're still uncertain what the abuses are going to happen in our state.
State Representative Kelly Cassidy said the state shouldn't get in the way of students who find relief with any cannabis products.
We should not get between patients and their medicine. It's just that simple.
A message seeking comment from the governor's office was not returned. The Illinois School Management Alliance is asking the governor to veto a bill that would mandate a $40,000 starting salary for teachers by 2022. Senate Bill 2892 passed both chambers last month. State Senator Andy Menar sponsored the bill.
I mean, if we don't guarantee a salary for a college graduate, we're not going to get the right folks to go into the teaching profession in the first place.
A letter the Illinois School Management Alliance sent Rauner Friday said the bill would be a substantial unfunded mandate and consume much or all of any new monies from the recently reformed school funding formula. Asked about the issue last week, Rauner said that he wants teachers to make more, but
get the mandates off from Springfield. We have too many regulations, too many unfunded mandates, too many restrictions on how our teachers teach. Get the mandates off, get more local control, and we'll be able to have the money to pay our teachers more.
That bill could be sent to the governor by the end of this month. Meanwhile, the governor says he's no longer open to sending guard troops to the border. Instead, Rauner said the U.S. should end the policy of separating families who cross the border illegally while working to secure the border. Back in March, he said that he's open to sending troops to the border, though no request had been made. Springfield police now say three employees were shot and a customer beaten in a holdup at the KFC restaurant on North 9th Street Monday night. All four suffered non-life-threatening injuries in the incident just before 9 p.m. and were released from the hospital. Officers who responded to the call located the two suspects just a few blocks from the restaurant. 26-year-old Clarence Jones III and 25-year-old Seth Frazier are facing multiple charges, including armed habitual criminal, armed robbery, and armed violence. And prosecutors may add additional charges as the investigation continues. Both of those suspects have an extensive history of violent crime. Illinois Governor Bruce Rauner has bought 53 acres of land west of Springfield with a local farmer. State Journal Register reports the Republican governor and his partner paid just under $600,000. Rauner spokeswoman Rachel Bold said that the purchase was reported on an economic interest statement and complies with the procedures that he enlisted to handle his business interests when he became governor in 2015. We give you more than 40 local news updates every day with News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. Depend on it.
629-7970. What's the first thing you think of in the morning? When you think about, when you wake up, it's 638 right now. So some of you, maybe some of you are just waking up right now. Let me just say, good morning. I just got to stop that and make myself yawn. What do you think of when you first wake up? And how long does it take you to get ready? The average person, by the way, takes 1 hour and 2 minutes to get ready each and every morning. Taking the calls right now on the CT Adams Pest Control Listener contact line at 629-7970. That's 629-7970. How long for you to get ready? What's the first thing you think of when you wake up? Good morning.
Good morning.
What do you think of when you wake up?
Well, I think it's changed over the years. You know, it's a little different. I used to not be a morning person, but now I'm totally a morning person. So,
you get up disturbingly early. That type of morning person, or?
I think so. I mean, I get up at 5:30, but I mean, you know, you guys get up earlier than that, don't you?
Well, like,
I mean,
what time do you leave for work?
Like 6:15.
Well, I mean, I don't think that's too. I mean, you're up 45 minutes before you leave. That's not bad.
Yeah, and for a dude, I mean, you know, like it takes us a lot less time to get ready. I mean, no matter what your age is.
Yeah. But, no, like you clean yourself up before you go to bed. Because I do morning radio, I've learned secrets to get myself a little more sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But this says it takes most people an hour and 2 minutes just to get ready.
Oh, geez. My first thought, because I got to go, is where's my ass going to get some coffee? That's my life. Hey, take it easy.
All right. So where am I going to get coffee? Where does that rank on the list? Let me see. I'm not sure if that actually fits. Good morning. How are you? What's the first thing you think of in the morning?
What's up, Ray?
How you doing, buddy? What's the first thing you think of in the morning?
First thing I think of is, man, I wish I could smoke pot.
That's the first thing you think of?
No.
Oh, okay.
First thing I think of is, man, I wish I was hooking my boat up to go fishing instead of going to work.
Oh, so you think of something leisurely or fun or...
Yeah.
I
wake up about an hour before I go to work, but I take my dogs out, smoke a cig, play around on my phone, go in, brush my teeth, take my medicine, and head out the door.
Really?
Yep.
You don't eat anything?
No, I eat when I get to work.
Oh, that's nice.
Yep.
Were you working at a restaurant?
No.
Oh. All right.
I'm not going to say where I work at.
You got donuts?
I usually stop at McDonald's or Hardee's.
Oh, so you get yourself something. I thought you said they were supplying it at work or something.
No, I wish.
So you're working for a good company. They're supplying breakfast.
That'd be real nice.
All right.
Have a few in there making omelets and baking every day.
Thank you, buddy. All right.
Have a good one.
What's the first thing you think of when you wake up in the morning? Good morning. You're on WMY.
Good morning. First thing I do is grab me a smoke.
And he removes the plug from his neck hole, and he inserts the cigarette into that plug, and...
I get a smoke. I hope that was someone calling in and doing a voice thinking they're funny. I hope. I don't know sometimes. All right, first thing you do when you wake up, what do you do?
Well, like for instance, this morning I grabbed my phone and turned on the council meeting so I could start listening to it at 3:20 this morning when I rolled out of bed.
So that's work related. You thought about work as soon as you woke up.
Oh, yeah. No, I think about work as soon as I get up. Just with, you know, us having to be on the air so early and all the duties I've got outside of just this show. I read the newspaper, I get the coffee made. I would say that's about spot on, about an hour and a few minutes here or there.
Mm-hmm.
That's about how long it takes me to get ready.
First thing I do is I look at the phone. Yeah. I go to Twitter to make sure no one's died or nothing's blown up.
No kidding.
The
president hasn't launched a bomb somewhere. Or
yeah,
something
this
like
this
that.
Morning was babies. Now I heard about the babies and all.
Right.
Yeah, it's usually some type of bad news that I read when I wake up in the morning.
Yeah.
But that's the first thing I do is I look at the phone just to see if anything big has happened while sleeping.
Yeah, but part of my get ready routine includes making a shake, chopping up whatever I need for lunch, and getting my gym bag together, and then when I leave the house, it looks like I'm going on a mission because I've got like 5 book bags and I'm, you know, just strapped to the gilt and just ready to rock and roll.
I bring a phone and a cup of coffee and I forgot the phone.
Oh, no.
Good morning. You're on WMY. First thing you do, thing you think of in the morning.
Good morning. Well, I thought I was a normal male, but listening to the calls, my thinking must be abnormal because they haven't mentioned sex yet.
The first thing you think of is sex, or the first thing you do is sex?
Well, I guess I didn't know there was a lot of difference there.
Well, I'm feeling sorry for your wife. If...
Well, you know, that's just...
I've worked mornings my entire life. Mornings.
Oh, yeah. Real early.
Morning.
Wouldn't do that.
Yeah, morning. You know, morning coitus is not anything that ever goes on in my house. My wife is not. There's no way. That's not going to happen.
Well, you know, at 4 o'clock in the morning, I guess I understand.
I mean, I don't know.
We have the same schedule.
I don't know what your situation is, but God bless you if it's going positively.
Well, and I hope everybody else's is too.
Thank you. Good morning. You're at WMAY. What's the first thing you think of when you wake up?
Ray, I get up and I kiss the mirror and I say, good morning, sunshine. No, it's all about the coffee and news for me. So,
all right. Sort of what Greg said. Greg said first thing he does is look at the, you know, look at the newspaper.
Yeah, I'll either read it. Like today, I was listening to the council meeting and reading the paper at the same time. Like my eyes were kind of going sideways, you know. But typically what I'll do is I'll use the State Journal Register's app on my phone,
mm-hmm.
and I'll have it read to me while I'm buzzing around the kitchen, getting shakes ready, making lunches,
good, yeah.
and or if I need to shave, and I'll even listen to it while I'm in the shower, so I'm kind of getting all the day's news that's in the newspaper while I'm getting
finding
ready.
Out about the latest shootings at KFC or whatever is you're looking
at. No kidding. My gosh, a lot of crime on the crime today.
Good morning. What is the first thing you think of when you wake up in the morning?
Yeah, two callers ago, that guy ain't had sex since JFK was president, that old bastard.
I didn't know we were judging other callers. Good morning. What's the first thing you think of when you wake up?
What day is it?
That seems like you're sort of getting yourself adjusted, I would think.
Yeah. I always have to think, like, what did I do yesterday or last night? So what day is today?
I've had those times where I wake up and I'm a little confused.
It's gotten worse as I've gotten older.
Thank you, buddy. So. I'll tell you what the worst was about 10 years ago. No, it was more than that. About 15 years ago, I would take a nap. And I would nap every day. I don't nap every day now, but I would nap every day back when I was doing, because it was really intensive doing that morning show. And I'd get home and I'd have to take a nap. Well, I would take the nap later in the day, so I would wake up around 4:30 in the afternoon sometimes. And I can't tell you how many times I woke up in the afternoon from a nap and freaked out thinking it was the morning. And actually getting up, freaking out, wanting to get ready, and then having it finally kick in. Oh, wait a minute, it's the afternoon. I was just napping. That was confusing. And it happened all the time. Or else, I've done this before, wake up on a Saturday morning and somehow get up and go, oh, my God, my alarm didn't go off, and run into the restroom and start cleaning up and get myself ready. And it takes me, I'm probably, in the middle of brushing my teeth when I realize, oh, it's Saturday. There is a bit of a confusion sometimes when you wake up. Here's what people think of when they first wake up, all right? Number one, and it's going to make sense when I tell you, the weather. People think of, okay, what kind of clothes do I wear? What am I going to do? The weather, the first thing they think of. Number two, something you have to do for work. Greg said first thing he did today was he started listening to the council meeting because he knows he's got to put the council roundup together. Something health related is number three. Something health related. I don't know. Maybe that's, I don't know if that's medicine you got to take or working out or something you got wrong with you. I don't know. Number four, a household chore. Some people wake up, they immediately think of a household chore. Number five, this is me. What's happening on social media? A lot of people reach for their phones first thing in the morning. Number six, you think about, I've got to get the kids up and ready for school. Number seven, your morning commute. You're thinking about, oh my God, I got to drive. Can I leave in time?
Yeah, that's a big one for me too.
Is there going to be traffic?
Yeah, especially if it's raining. Like we've had some real crazy rains early.
That's the only time I think about it is when the rain's going. I go, oh man, how's this going to delay?
I better leave a little early. Yeah. I'm going to be hydroplaning. It's not going to be an enjoyable drive.
And it's not so bad in the summer. But in the winter, the first thing you do, seriously, the first thing you do when you wake up is you look out the window. Mm-hmm. You got to make sure it hasn't snowed.
Yeah, or get online and look at like IDOT's road website that kind of shows you driving conditions. Yeah, absolutely. I think that one should be probably higher up on the list.
Number eight, first thing you think of is, oh, can I get away without washing my hair today?
Can I get away without washing my hair today? I'm sure a lot of women actually think that. Because
can I go without showering?
Yeah, a lot of women I would think probably consider whether or not they can get away with washing their hair or not washing their hair, because drying their hair takes a long time. It's a big process.
My wife informed me of a product. I had no idea this product existed, but I don't know if you've heard of it or not, but I was kissing my wife. And I go, your hair smells fantastic. And she goes, oh, thanks. It's my dry wash. I go, what? What is that? And she goes, oh, it's basically I made her explain to me. It's something, it washes her hair. It's like a dry wash. I don't know how it works. But it's so you don't have to wash your hair. You just put it in your hair. And it smelled great, although it sounds disgusting. And number nine, what do people think of their outfits? Like, what are they going to wear today? People have to think of, oh, God, what am I going to wear? Blah, blah, blah. You got to get your clothes ready the night before, people. And then number 10, family issues.
Do you get your clothes ready the night before?
Well, let's face it. My clothes, like, I'm wearing the same, I'll be honest. I'm wearing the same shorts I wore yesterday. Yeah. And I got a shirt. I wore this shirt last week, so I threw the shirt on. There's not a lot to the clothes I wear.
I do, depending on what's going on that day. That determines what I'm going to wear. Like when the legislature's in session, I will wear.
Well, you have
a
to wear
suit
suits, but like I said, I'm different. I'm either wearing shorts,
right,
or sweatpants or something, because, you know,
and a lot of people listening probably have uniforms if they're going and working. And
if you're wearing a uniform, there's not a lot of thought of what goes into it.
That's true.
Good morning. You're on WMY.
First thing I think about is ducking.
Ducking?
Ducking, yes, because when I wake up, my husband starts adjusting the blankets, and if I'm not careful, I'm going to take an elbow in the side of the head. I've been assuming for 30 years it's an accident. So I duck.
That's the first thing you do. The first thing Lakia does is dodge potential domestic abuse.
Well, I don't know about domestic abuse, but I sure don't want an elbow in the side of the head.
Right.
Yeah, he always feels bad, but not quite as bad as my head. Right.
We got to check the timing. Are you fighting before you go to bed? And then
No, we don't fight.
Okay.
We don't fight.
Yeah, you got
to. Yeah, he told me once we do, and I told him he had to point it out when we were, so I'd know. And but no, we don't fight. He adjusts the blankets because now he can. Hug him.
When you guys were arguing about whether or not you fight, are you sure you didn't tell him to shut the hell up, stop being a mama's boy?
No, because his mama did a good job.
All right, good.
No. All right, bye bye.
Thank you. And number 10, family issues. Survey found we spend 11 minutes on breakfast. 11 minutes on breakfast in the morning because we're so rushed. Sometimes my wife will make scrambled eggs for me, so I wake up and eat my eggs, and I literally devour them. I put the plate in my mouth and use the fork to shovel the food into my mouth. Or, like this morning, I take a granola bar and I eat it on the drive over. A quarter of us usually eat on the go. The average person ends up skipping breakfast at least once a week. Good morning. What's the first thing you think of when you wake up?
Well, to be honest, I think about going to the bathroom in the morning.
Yeah, that's the first thing. I mean, that's the first thing a lot of us do. Yeah, how many times are you going during the overnight?
right now, I only go like once, sometimes twice, and that's it.
Yeah, I go once. Since I've lost weight, I will. This is the best thing, Tim. This is the best thing about losing weight, in all seriousness. The time I spend going to the bathroom,
has been
chopped a lot less.
Yep. Hey, that stuff your wife was telling you about the spray on the hair.
Yeah, well, I don't know what it is. Some dry shampoo or whatever.
Well, it's not for everybody. I had to use it when I was in the hospital last year. I'm telling you what, it's for us guys with long hair. It's not very good. It turns your hair into a sticky ball.
Thank you, buddy. My wife's hair smelled good. It just sounded disgusting. But it's a popular product, according to her. And she goes, I don't have time to wash my hair. I had to use this.
With news you can depend on, I'm Greg Bishop, News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. In the news, federal officials say immigrants accused of entering the U.S. illegally can find where their children are through hotlines and an email address. But advocates say it's not that simple to reunite families separated by U.S. officials at the border. The Texas Civil Rights Project says once immigrants are sent to jail or immigration detention centers, its lawyers lose access to the detainees. And the Trump administration says it doesn't have yet a reunification plan in place. Meanwhile, the president will hold a campaign rally in Minnesota today as his administration deals with the fallout over its zero-tolerance policy that's led to family separations at the border following illegal crossings. ABC's Arlette Sines has a look at the president's day.
President Trump starts his day at the White House meeting with members of Congress to discuss the Chinese telecoms company ZTE. He'll also have lunch with Vice President Mike Pence and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. The president then flies to Duluth, Minnesota, where he'll hold a roundtable discussion on protecting American workers. He caps off his day with a Make America Great Again rally in Duluth before heading back to the White House. Arlette Sines, ABC News, the White House.
Meanwhile, a joint House and Senate hearing in Chicago today. We'll review the outcome of a Chicago Tribune investigation into sexual abuse within Chicago public schools. The recent bombshell report found 72 CPS employees were accused of sexual misconduct over a 10-year period without proper reporting to authorities. Legislation addressing the issue in Illinois has already been filed. Illinois is one of two states credit rating agency Fitch gave a negative outlook for the coming budget year. In a statement Tuesday, Fitch said Illinois also has the lowest rating of all the states at triple B. Analyst Eric Kim said that the budget for the coming fiscal year may be cash balanced, but with assumed savings that can't be guaranteed, such as the pension buyout plan, the budget's not structurally balanced. Even before Illinois raised taxes last summer, the state's total tax burden on local businesses slid past its neighbors and closer to coastal high-tax states. WMAY's Cole Lauterbach has more.
Anderson Economic Group compares states based on how much their businesses are taxed at the state and local level as a percentage of their pre-tax gross operating margins. Illinois businesses, for instance, give up 9.75% of how much they earn after the cost of doing business, but before taxes are taken out. Senior consultant Jason Horowitz says that they take a number of taxes into consideration, the biggest cost being property taxes.
The tax burden over the past couple of years has actually ticked up a bit, despite the fact that we are in a relatively good economy.
Anderson says they're using 2016 numbers, meaning that the corporate and personal tax hikes lawmakers passed last summer aren't accounted for yet.
This doesn't take into account fiscal year 2017 increase in corporate income taxes, so you've got to imagine that's only going to go up.
I'm Cole Lauterbach.
The U.S. Post Office in Chillicothe has been named in honor of a Navy SEAL killed in action last year. Senior Chief Petty Officer William Ryan Owens was a 1998 graduate of Illinois Central High School. That's Illinois Valley Central High School. He was killed January 29, 2017, while serving with SEAL Team 6 in operations against Al-Qaeda in Yemen. Republican U.S. Representative Darren LaHood of Peoria sponsored legislation to rename the post office for Owens. We give you more than 40 local news updates every day with News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. Depend on it.
Greg Bishop and the Council Roundup.
I believe the other. Oh, I'm not done.
Let me just say that I am extremely disappointed.
It's not magic. It's science.
for next meeting.
Would you give $5 here, now $10, $10 here, now $15, $15 down, $15 down, $20, $20 down, $25, sold it on $30 right there to Alderman Redpath.
All right. We like that.
Chuck, I'll take cash, please.
It was a long meeting last night. Close to 3 hours.
Oh.
Most of that was zoning and presentations and proclamations.
Oh.
They got to some substance, though. Talk about the animal rights. Animal rights.
Oh, you mean there's no substance in the proclamations?
Yeah, we'll feature one of them briefly. But we will get to the animal control contract. We'll talk a little bit about the contract with the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library concerning the internment documents. And I think Alderman Turner, or Alderwoman Turner.
Alder Turner.
Alder Turner. She laid a chip down on the table.
Laid a chip down?
Yeah.
There was gambling going on?
Nobody talked about it after she put it down, but I think it's going to be there for a bit. And it could spur on some...
Is this a Greg Bishop conspiracy theory coming into focus,
I don't know.
Perhaps?
It was just interesting. We'll get to all that later on in the meeting.
Well, Greg's brewing up a nice cup of conspiracy coffee today.
Cup of conspiracy. That'd be a good morning.
Conspiracy-aid.
Conspiracy. Coffee and conspiracy.
He's mixing
tonight
together a nice glass of conspiracy. A little lemon flavor.
All right, so right off the bat, they had a proclamation to highlight some of the young student athletes in Springfield.
All Whereas right. today we celebrate the 7th grade boys Grant Middle School track and field team and recognize their outstanding achievements in their 2017-2018 season. And whereas teammates Javion Bardwell, Malachi Bradley, Deshaun Browley, Artez Hansen, James Harris, Randy Kyles, Tyree Lott, Keyshawn Singleton, DeAndre Stewart, and Corey West showed dedication, determination, and drive. And whereas at this past spring's Illinois Elementary School Association, IESA, state championship, these athletes came out strong and focused and placed high in the competition.
I like the name Javion.
Pretty cool name. But those students rocked and rolled. They went to
this competition.
They got some firsts, a lot of seconds, a lot of
for them.
A lot of patting on the back there. So there was also a dental practice that was highlighted for their charity work and a few other groups as well. Like I said, it was a good 30 minutes worth of proclamations and various people being recognized early on in the meeting. So always good to hear the community getting together. Then they got into a lot of zoning issues.
Oh, boy.
Not really going to get into any of that, Ray. I glossed over it this morning. The coffee hadn't set in yet, and I was I don't know how they stay awake. Need to get through this. So I'm kind of glad I did get to the end of the meeting just because of we got some good stuff here. But let's start with after zoning, there was a presentation from Budget Director McCarty. And you may have heard Alderman Hanauer raise concerns about P-cards. What are P-cards?
I'm sorry?
They're procurement cards.
Oh, okay.
So these are like credit card, debit card type things.
Something different.
That various city officials have. Apparently, there's 105 of these P-cards out there within City Hall.
What are they doing with these cards?
They're buying all kinds of things. So Alderman Hanauer has been one that's been vocal and asking questions about the spending. So Budget Director McCarty, he wanted to make sure that everybody was clear on what's going on with these P-cards.
If you went from absolutely scratch, not having a new vendor who's not in the system, and you had to go from there to buy an item, what staff came up with is approximately 44 minutes in staff time in various departments and areas in order to get that from establishment of the vendor all the way through the process of procuring the good, receiving it, and making the payment. The cost in time is about $27. You add in the fact that it costs $2.78 to issue a check here at the city, and you're looking at about $30.
Did you hear that?
In order to
why does it cost that much to get a check? It
costs like $3 to write a check.
Good Lord, where are you
world.
People banking at?
No kidding. So that's his rationale for having the P cards, is because when you know somebody has to get reimbursed to go through the process, it gets reviewed, and you got 44 minutes of time people are using to do this, and then they have to cut a check, which costs like $3, and I just all the costs start adding up. He says procurement cards kind of slice through that.
3-month snapshot of activity. The utility and the non-utility departments are separated about combined $428,000, but we're talking about 1,846 different items for an average cost of $232.
So the past 3 months, Ray.
What are they buying with these cards?
They have purchased close to $500,000 worth of items using procurement cards.
So who has them, though?
Various heads, the utility uses them. You've got, people that might use them if they're out on trainings and whatnot. But he says there's a lot of checks and balances, but there's also, a lot of checks that aren't being written. And those checks, when they are written, cost taxpayers.
And you annualize that, you're talking $20,000 a year for checks.
Just in checks.
Versus about $1 a year for the electronic payments that we do. And
so, again, he's...
That's not bad. I see what he's talking about.
He's essentially saying, listen, it's cost-efficient for us to have these P-cards. He also said there's a lot of controls involved.
There got to be paying the people doing the checks and balances, though.
Well, yes, and they still do that. He said he scrutinizes every single purchase. His staff goes through and scrutinizes every single purchase.
So they're having a conference in Chicago.
Sure.
And Ray and Greg, two members of... Where are we going to work? So we work for Public Works.
Sure.
We go to the conference.
We go to the Municipal League Conference on tax dollars. Yes.
Yeah. So they have us. So we have procurement cards. Well, we go to the conference.
Right.
So we check into the hotel. We use our procurement card.
Yep. Check into the Hyatt Region, $300 a night.
Sure. All right. So we use our procurement card.
Yep.
Greg wants to watch a dirty movie in the room because he's a pervert like that.
Oh, no, not true.
So Greg puts it on the procurement card. I just happen to be in the room while it's on. I'm certainly not watching. And then we say, you know what? Let's go out and get something to eat.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we just put that on the procurement card?
You do get a per diem. So put that on the procurement card. Ray, I've FOIA'd dozens of municipalities across the state. And I've seen their procurement card purchases for these exact examples you're providing.
I'm just wondering what they're buying.
They're buying food. They're buying hotel stay. If they're out on a training or anything along those lines, they're buying boots. They're buying office supplies. They're buying computers, things for work. Of course, they can't use procurement cards for personal items, but they're buying things for work.
Well, that's what I'm saying. How do you determine what's personal and what isn't?
Well, and what I've seen when they go on these types of trips, training seminars or whatever it is, Springfield was actually very good about it when I got information on their trip to the Illinois Municipal League Conference a couple months ago. They were very good and prudent about the spending. But there were municipalities elsewhere throughout the state that were buying lobster dinners with their procurement cards. They were buying steak dinners with their procurement cards. They were essentially charging taxpayers for the goodies that they would get in their hotel room.
Dirty movies and
right.
I'm gonna eat these cashews.
Right.
This
$8 bag of cashews.
Well,
right.
Where literally, if I just need to eat, I could go down to some other place and get cashews for like 80 cents.
Right. But there are controls in place, McCarty said.
Users are assigned specific cards, and the names are on the cards. They are accountable for anything that is purchased on that card.
So if there's questions, then it goes back to them. But he also talked about the procurement cards provide security, streamlining, controls, and a variety of other important factors that may not be there when it comes to just cutting checks.
So it makes perfect sense. There's really no reason for us to go away from that process and to add a bunch of time and money and cost into the little $100, $200 items that we have to purchase. And as you saw from the earlier slides, there's a lot of that. Yeah.
Seems like a lot of people have those cards.
Yeah. So when we come back, we'll hear some aldermen sound off on this, all right, including Alderman Hanauer, who initially raised the issue of procurement cards, and also a little bit more on city policies that are meant to encourage buying local.
Do any of the alders have procurement cards?
That's a great question. I don't think so.
Huh.
Maybe.
All right.
We'll have to find that out. That's a good question.
We'll come back and get into all that. 722, you listen to the Ray Lottle Morning Show. All right, let's get back to the council.
Well, we got a few more moments here talking about P cards, procurement cards, your tax dollars hard at work. Alderman Redpath jumped in and talked about the importance on focusing on spending because the city's in financial dire straits. We're looking at, what, like a $2 million deficit or something along those lines. So where we can scrutinize spending at all, it's very much needed.
I can tell by your presentation, what you just said, that things are starting to change. And I can tell you that the things you just said about the mayor saying go out and purchase local, now I can listen to the radio commercial and say, good job, Jim. So the bottom line is that... Because we had discussions and sometimes heated discussions about the spending that we have here, things are changing, and it has to. We have to do our best to drive buy local. We have to do our best not to go out and purchase on online when we can do that here.
Yeah, and Budget Director McCarty also talked about the importance of buying local and how they now have a policy where if people don't buy local, there has to be a comment on.
The reason why, right?
Alderman Donilon really likes that.
The new procedure regarding local purchases, I like the idea also of if it's not purchased locally, putting in the comments why. That's really good to hear, Director.
We're not just ordering things from Amazon and having it shipped in.
Right. Donilon also talks about how much of a monthly limit is there. And again, there's 105 different cards out there. They all have individual names on them.
It does seem. I like the cards. But 105 does seem a little excessive.
Yeah. So what kind of limits are we talking about? I mean, everybody has a credit card limit, right? They can't spend above and beyond.
Mm-hmm. What's the minimum? I mean, is it $100, $5,000?
Are you asking a minimum
per card
item or per card per month?
Per card per month. I mean, just even if ballpark is what I'm looking for.
We have cards that range from about $500 monthly up to about $10,000, depending upon what position they're in.
So 10,000 could be like somebody at CWLP, for instance, that has to make large purchases using their P card. Alderman Hanauer is the one that a couple of months ago really raised this issue, kind of spurring on this conversation. He said, listen, I understand all the controls and the security and the efficiency and not having to write checks and everything. But he said, if we're out there buying so much other stuff in bulk, Why don't we have like contracts that, you know, bulk purchase items?
Yeah, you'd think I'm sure they have some kind of deal to get like paper and office supplies.
And they can even do joint contracts with the state, for instance.
Why don't we have a master contract, you know, to go out and see where we can get the best deal on paint? We don't do that. What about office supplies? On there, I saw tons of office supplies.
Right.
We found out that they were buying computers and they weren't using state contract. My point on this is
contracts for that?
Anything that I see repeat stuff on these, on boots.
Boots, lots
of
boots.
We know we're gonna have 10,000 pairs of boots or 500 pairs of boots. Why don't we have a contract to try to get the best value? That's what it's about.
It's a good point.
So they're buying boots for the workers?
Yeah, some workers in the unions have negotiated that they purchase their clothes for them.
That would be like the station buying our headphones. I'd love it.
Wouldn't that be nice?
I'd love it if I didn't have to pay for my own headphones.
Absolutely.
Stupid headphones.
Yeah, so boots and overalls.
Stupid expensive headphones.
Various security clothing type things, the taxpayers cover.
I want the station to buy my boots.
Budget Director McCarty closes out with that concern, saying that sometimes it doesn't save money to have these bulk contracts.
We actually do have some master contracts, and we have found, and I'm going to use office supplies as a prime example because you mentioned it. We have a master contract for office supplies. It's less expensive to go to some of our local stores and buy the items than it is to use that master contract.
So, there you go. That's the conversation about the P cards at City Hall. Coming back, we'll hear about a new restaurant that got annexed into town.
Oh, it's a new restaurant.
Yeah, and we'll also get into animal control and Alderwoman Turner. Alder Turner, seeming to foreshadow something. I don't know what she's foreshadowing.
Conspiracy, everyone.
But it was kind of an interesting little.
I know why I need those boots.
A little bit of something. A little bit of something that she dropped there right at the tail end of the meeting. So we'll get to that coming up.
Don't go anywhere. It's all coming up on the Colorado.
With news you can depend on, I'm Greg Bishop, News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. In the news, about 6,000 people spent part of Tuesday night in the dark after a powerful storm swept through the Springfield area. The storm dropped heavy rain and caused minor flooding along the area, with actually delayed the Springfield Sliders game for about an hour. Power was restored after several hours of crews working on the situation. Illinois Governor Bruce Rauner says President Donald Trump's administration should stop separating children from parents who cross into the U.S. illegally. The Republican told reporters in Chicago yesterday that the Trump administration's practice is heartbreaking and bad policy. He says that he's relayed the message to the White House and Illinois' congressional delegation. Meanwhile, an alliance of school boards, administrators, business managers, and principals is asking Governor Bruce Rauner to veto a bill that would require a higher starting salary for teachers in Illinois. Before voting no last month on a measure to pay teachers at least $40,000 starting salary by 2022, State Senator Dale Ryder said that the mandate will mean cuts to other school offerings like sports.
Those are the choices that your school officials back home are going to have to deal with if we say, by the way, you're going to have to pay everyone at least $40,000.
That sentiment was echoed in a letter the Illinois School Management Alliance sent Rauner Friday, urging a veto. The alliance said without fully funding the increase, it'll cause layoffs, program cuts, and other problems after the state just passed school funding reform. When asked about the bill last week, Rauner focused on ending mandates instead of committing to signing the bill.
Let schools run their districts as they see fit. Get the mandates off, and that will free up resources as well. That's the way we'll get more money.
Meanwhile, the clock's ticking on the governor to act on a bill that would allow parents and guardians to give their kids cannabis-infused products at school. House Bill 4870 passed both chambers last month. It was sent to the governor Friday. He now has less than 60 days to act on the bill. The measure would let parents or guardians administer cannabis-infused products to their children who have qualifying conditions unless the school determines that it would be disruptive. Before voting yes on the measure, Republican State Senator Neil Anderson said that there are less restrictions on harmful prescription painkillers than there is for medical pot.
We have a huge opioid epidemic in our state, but yet we try to solve these problems with an alternative source that works, that is a plant, but yet we provide less oversight in statute for prescribing opioids.
Rauner's office didn't return a message seeking comment yesterday. The measure passed both chambers with more than enough votes to override any potential veto. The contract for Sangamon County to handle Springfield's animal control will continue for a 19th year. Alderman gave unanimous approval to a $262,000 contract, but not without concerns. Alderman would like to see the county put more people on after hours and weekend duties, and constituents have seen a lack of service at those times. And get ready for lane closures on various Sangamon County highways starting Monday and running through mid-August. The County Highway Department says maintenance work, primarily putting down chip seal on the roads, will result in one lane at a time being shut down. The traffic controlled by flaggers, and the county is urging drivers to be cautious and to pay attention on county roadways all summer long. We give you more than 40 local news updates every day with News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. Depend on it.
Now back to the council roundup.
Well, it was a nearly three-hour meeting last night.
Ooh.
Yeah. A lot of it we kind of glossed over because it was zoning, but did want to talk about the Motorhead Barn Grill and an annexation.
Where is that?
That Alderman approved last night. This is on Toronto Road.
Mm-hmm.
If you've driven by there, say you're heading south on I-55,
oh,
and you take Toronto Road.
I know where it is. It's next to the gas station there.
Right, yeah, the new gas station.
It used to be a Pizza Hut.
Yeah, on the west side of I-55.
All right, yeah.
So they've got like, I don't know, a kind of, you know, like a drifter car on top of the roof.
Yeah.
A bunch of cool signage and everything. Well, that place is open now.
Oh, okay.
So they're being annexed into the city of Springfield.
Good.
So they had the owner get up there last night.
Hi, I'm Ron Metzger, owner of Motorhead Bar Grill Museum, Route 66.
It's a museum.
What it is, it's not just like a bar or restaurant. It's like I call a complex. We promote Springfield Route 66, everything about Springfield Route 66, from signs, from the Bel Air to the Abe Lincoln Motel signs, to everything in Springfield and really big on, I call it Motorhead for a reason, because we have the world's fastest mile. We had the world's fastest quarter mile in Springfield Speedway. We got many professional drivers and everything. So I'm really promoting all that. Like I say, it's a restaurant, bar, grill.
So what the annexation ultimately does, though, is it cuts a deal with Motorheads to give them some rebates. Because they spent like $48,000 to hook up to city water, light, and power utilities, including water. And then
wasn't hooked up when it was a Pizza Hut?
Well, it's been out of service for how long? Okay. I mean, how you talking, what, 10 years or something?
Oh, man. That Pizza Hut hasn't been around since like the 80s.
God, it's been a long time. I mean, that building's been there for a long, long
I think
time.
It was a Pizza Hut literally in the 80s.
The annexation also included a tax rebate of up to $25,000 to offset some of that
all
cost.
Right.
So, hey, you know what? I'm looking forward to heading out there and seeing what's going on. Because as he said, it's like a museum.
I can't stand for something in Springfield to get away. You know, so many old signs and part of history is left. And every time I got an Abe Lincoln sign, I've got since 1996 when they tore down the Abe Lincoln and put up Cozy Dog. And I've carried that from spot to spot all these years, and I finally got a place to hang.
Now it's got a home at the Motorhead Bar, Grill, and Restaurant, yeah, and Museum.
That hasn't been anything. It was like an underage teen club or something in the 90s.
And no, even in the early 2000s.
Yeah, that's the last time.
I remember time. That. Yeah. Driving by there all the time thinking that's a dirty place.
Well,
I can't remember what it was called.
I went there once in the 90s or whatever, and I went there, and I'm like, man, it seems really young. And I was young.
It was a teen club, but
it was 20-some-odd years old, but right. I was like, man, this place seems young.
Yeah, I remember that place.
So I'm glad they got something in there.
Never went there. All right, moving on, another issue near and dear to Alderman, animal control.
Uh-oh.
All right. I remember years ago when they had these conversations with Jim Stone from Sangamon County Health.
Got to roll.
They roll. When they get the call, they roll.
Yeah.
You remember? So Jim Stone was there last night, but Alderman McMiniman talked about some of the major issues that he hears from constituents.
Be able to do about it. In my 7 years on the council, I've never had so many calls regarding coyotes. I'm getting calls from areas that never had coyote problems.
Coyotes!
More remote from the... large parks like Washington Park and remote from our golf courses. They tend to take place during the winter time. I had some calls regarding coyotes near schools.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Can you imagine that? Primarily in the winter months.
It would only take one diseased coyote, you know, to really act viciously and so forth. But it's a growing problem, and so we need some help. And, you know, animal control is a logical place to seek help from. I know that at the federal level there's some resources there, but really you're the local presence. And so, you know, if we can get some local help, it would be greatly appreciated.
What do we do about it? How do we handle that? Stone was there from Sangamon County Public Health.
Yes, we're animal control, and yes, we get the pot-bellied pig from now and then, and we get the, you know, different kinds of snakes and other things that come through, but it's typically dogs and cats. Bats sometimes as well.
Bats!
But there are raptors that we're not even licensed to touch ourselves.
Oh, wow.
Federal regulation. So we're more the domestic animal control, if you will. Wildlife situations like this, we need to get professionals involved. And again, I would offer to broker a meeting or bring USDA Wildlife Services to sit down and discuss problem areas and see what their advice might be.
So we got coyotes eating people on golf courses that they're concerned about?
Well, it's not just coyotes. You also got deer.
I've had twice now where there's been a deer that was stuck in somebody's fence in their backyard.
Alderman Tylan.
And we had to go through animal control to then go to DNR, to then go to whoever it was who really did come in and take care of the wild animal. And I think if we could streamline that process and make it something that's clear to our constituents and our residents that they know where to call.
Because when people call and they get somebody answers the phone, they're like, I've got this, you know, wild boar that's smashing into my garage door. Right. We don't handle those.
Oh, well, who does? The wild boar is eating my child.
Who handles it? I have no idea who handles it.
Yeah, well, they got to figure that out.
They got to get that information to where it needs to be. So Alderman Tylan suggested forming a group of sorts.
Well, all the money we're giving to the county, they won't go get a coyote or a
right,
deer? Or...
Right.
Oh, boy.
Alderman Tylan suggests some kind of group to look into this, to get information where it needs to be.
I think we could.
And Stone, he responds.
I think we could do that, and might I suggest that maybe we have a little bit of a like a work group, and Mayor, I don't know if you would want to have an alderman or two wish to be part of that work group. We could sit down and address this. I'd want to get Greg Largent, our director of operations, involved as well.
So they essentially did form last night a working group of three aldermen to look into this more.
This is serious, though. What if an animal tries to eat my child on my property? That would give me the right to take out
my gun and shoot it, right? I mean, they talked about this before the police chief, when he addressed this winter.
Kenny said...
He said each individual situation will be taken for what it is, but he doesn't want people walking down the street with a gun to shoot a coyote. That's not how it goes. But it's not just coyotes, it's not just deer. We've also got other critters.
Not just the coyotes, but I mean, there's opossums, there's muskrats, and especially in where I'm living, skunks. There's a lot of
foxes,
animals that are not coyotes that are roaming around in the neighborhoods.
Do you say opossum or do you say possum?
I say possum.
I say possum too.
He's very worried about opossums.
Alderman Senor, worried about the opossums.
Herman's got. And he's got skunks in his property. You know what I'm saying? My neighborhood, we got skunks and
opossums. I'm sure raccoons are also a problem. But Alderman DeCenso had an issue not with the different animals that they don't take care of. She has an issue with the dogs and cats that may be problems during the weekend or in overnight hours.
Their after hours and weekends are underserviced. So that's just that's an ongoing concern of mine, and I don't know what the answer is, but I think it needs to be addressed somehow. Yeah.
So Stone ultimately said they do go out on certain emergencies when police are involved or if firefighters are involved and so on. So they ended up, even though they addressed their concerns, they still approved the $200,000 contract.
An animal attempts to eat my child, right. I'm getting my gun and I'm killing it. Right. You killed my poodle!
Yeah.
Your poodle was trying to eat my daughter.
No question. One last thing here that I do want to jump to before we get to Alderman Turner's kind of cryptic message. Mm-hmm. Deals with the library, presidential library, and the book, the internment book that has assassinated as the list of cause of death for Lincoln.
Are they trying to sell that one to raise money to keep it?
No. Okay. The presidential library is holding on to it for safekeeping, and there was a lot of concern, Alderman Tyland said, with the word deposit in the contract.
Mm. And I think that word is what's got everyone on their legal edge when it comes to the board of directors and their concerns. And I did find two instances when I was searching for it of where property did revert over to the ownership of a museum due to a deposit. So I think that's the concern. No one's accusing anyone of anything. The library museum has been wonderful.
He ultimately said deposit historically tends to be after 10 years and one day it goes back to the organization that's holding it, and that's what he was concerned about, and the mayor jumped in.
Yeah, and that's why we switched to a five-year agreement versus a 10 with the terminology of renewals.
But to be clear, it's really a 30-day agreement because either party at any time can cancel it on 30 days notice.
Mm-hmm. And that's Zirkle right there.
Yeah, that's Zirkle. All right, so let's get to the cryptic message real quick that Alderman Turner laid out there, and I think this is something we're going to revisit later on some other time.
Due to some situations that have occurred inside and outside these chambers over the last couple of months, I think all of us are growing pretty weary. I know I am. And I did some research and confirmed that the municipal code addresses member disorderly conduct within the chamber in section 31.03, titled Rules Expulsion. And
expulsion.
It says the city council shall determine its own rules of proceedings and punish its members for disorderly conduct.
Wow.
With the concurrence of 2/3 of the alderman elected, it may expel an alderman but not a second time for the same offense.
Wow. That's a McMillan rule.
I did some further research that confirmed that no such rules have currently been determined.
So she is urging them to determine those rules and act accordingly. I'm not sure what exactly is going to be considered misconduct, somebody standing up and dropping their pants or something, or people criticizing others or what.
That sounds like a McMenamin malfeasance.
I'm sure we're going to hear about this more in the future. That's your council roundup, Brad.
Thank you, Greg Bishop. That's the council roundup.
With news you can depend on, I'm Greg Bishop, News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. In the news, House Republicans are weighing two broad immigration bills, which both will include provisions addressing family separations at the border. ABC's Arlette Sines has more where President Donald Trump stands on the issue.
House Republican leaders are pushing a compromise package that includes $25 billion in border wall funding and provides a path to citizenship for Dreamers. There is also a more conservative alternative crafted by Congressman Bob Goodlatte, which includes border security funding, curbs legal immigration, and provides legal status for the Dreamers. Both packages would address family separations at the border and are supported by the president. There are several standalone measures to prevent family separations, but the White House hasn't said if the president would back those proposals.
Meanwhile, it's now up to Illinois Governor Bruce Rauner if parents and guardians will be able to administer cannabis-infused products to their children at their school. House Bill 4870 would give schools discretion whether to allow cannabis-infused products for children with qualifying conditions under the state's medical cannabis pilot program. The bill was sent to the governor Friday. Before voting no last month, State Senator Chuck Weaver said he supports getting CBD oil to students who need it. That's the substance derived from the cannabis stalk that has virtually none of the THC compound that gets a user high.
I just wish we had a cleaner bill that was somehow making sure we're not now allowing THC in a school environment when we're still uncertain what the abuses are going to happen in our state.
State Representative Kelly Cassidy said the state shouldn't get in the way of students who find relief from any kind of cannabis products.
We should not get between patients and their medicine. It's just that simple.
A message seeking comment from the governor's office was not immediately returned. High property taxes and business growing elsewhere has pushed Illinois down in annual measurements of how much businesses here are taxed compared to elsewhere in the nation. WMAY's Cole Lauterbach has more.
Anderson Economic Group's annual ranking of percentage of total state and local taxes as a percentage of their gross operating profit margin shows Illinois slid further down from the middle of 2016, the most recent data available. The state is now ranked 35th. That's down from 25th just 4 years ago. Senior consultant Jason Horwitz says the slide is largely due to increasing property taxes and other states' businesses making more as the economy has improved while Illinois hasn't as much.
There are quite a few studies that suggest that there is a marginal effect.
Horwitz says a business in Chicago may not care about a couple percent of extra tax to have the benefits of the city, but businesses that don't need that talent pool may look more closely.
Should I locate in Rockford or should I locate in Appleton, Wisconsin?
I'm Cole Lauterbach.
And a former director of Springfield's Lincoln Library being honored this week. The computer classroom at the public library's main branch downtown, named in honor of Nancy Huntley. Huntley began work at the library in 1977, one day after its first computer was delivered. In her 40-year career, including 24 years as director, she oversaw the digital information of the library, bringing it into the 21st century. Among her accomplishments include the addition of computers for use by library patrons, overseeing creation of a digital archives for the Sangamon Valley Collection, and developing e-cards to allow library access for all students of District 186. We give you more than 40 local news updates every day with News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. Depend on it.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.